Thanks for joining us at Reveal, a Jesus-centered community. To learn more about us and what's going on, check us out on the web at www.revealvineyard.com. We hope in the minutes to come, you're able to find God, find others, and find yourself. Thanks again for listening.
All of us here, in one capacity or another, are leaders, because all of us in one way or another have influence. And leadership at its core is simply that. It is influence. If you are a parent, you're a leader because you have influence, hopefully, influence over your children. If you're in a relationship, there's mutual leadership that goes on there because each of you have influence over one another. Even at your job, regardless of what your title is or is not, you still have an opportunity, the potential of leadership, because you have the potential to influence people and you have the potential to influence an environment. Leadership at its core is influence. John Maxwell, I think, is the one that said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Anything going right in an organization or a family or a government or a relationship or in a classroom, anywhere you find success, where you find rising morale and expansion and profitability, where you find vision buy-in, you will find a leader or shared leadership setting the pace and the course for that organization, that family, that church, whatever it might be. But the opposite is also true. Anywhere that you find something perpetually wrong, when issues are not addressed, when morale is low and when turnover is high, or when vision is lost, or when reputation suffers, or when situations are never addressed, you will find a leader asleep at the wheel. You will find a leader who fumbled the ball, a leader who lacks momentum or vision or grit or purpose, a leader, maybe they're self-absorbed, or you will find a leader who has just given up. Because everything rises and falls on leadership. In Scripture, whenever God wanted to birth something new, whenever he had a new message or he was trying to move a situation one direction or the other, he would always raise up a leader that would take that message forward and move the ball down the field, as it were, move the message forward. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So we today are going to talk about leadership. Now, a disclaimer. Today is not going to be like a typical Sunday sermon. And so if you're new with us especially, I want you to know that. I don't want you to run out of here saying, oh, that Reveal is just a self-help gospel church and they just preach this feel-good stuff, all right? I need you to understand that today is going to be different, but I have felt since the beginning of the year that I needed to give a leadership message to our church, and I'll explain why in a little bit. I thought about doing a class, but then I thought, you know, we're going to get 20, 25 people to that class. So I decided I'm going to give it the information to everyone. And so today is an all skate in the all skate direction for those of you that grew up at the Great Skate. And so we're going to talk about leadership. And the reason I'm presenting it to all of us is because I'm wanting to drop something on you in hopes that it prepares you for what I think is on the horizon for our church. And if we're going to step into what God has for us, the base of leadership is going to need to expand. And so we're going to talk about leadership. If you were here with us last week, you know that we started a new series called You and We, where we have been exploring the relationship between you and we. I said last week that the only reason that we are a we is because you decided to be part of the we. And there can never be a we if there's only one you. A couple of yous, I know that's not proper English, but a couple of yous make a we. And so last week we talked about the reason we exist. If you're part of this church and you missed that, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But we said, look, the reason we exist, our why, is because we want to help people find God, find others, and to find themselves. We want to lead people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, find God. We want to lead people into a community with other people of equal shared values where they can give and use their gifts and they can receive what is needed, find others. And then we want people to find themselves, to step into being the person that God has created us to be. That's the find yourself part of our vision. But we said that, look, none of that, absolutely none of that happens without you, that you make us a better we. And if there's anything about Reveal that you enjoy, anything that stirs you, anything that speaks to you, it is quite literally because one of you decided to make us a better we. All of you that volunteer, you make us a better we. That is the reality of we. For we to be a successful we, it takes a participating you. That is true in any organization. Here's the driving thought behind today's message. A better you makes a better we. A better you makes a better we, which only makes sense because you make us we. And for us to become the we need to become more than the we see, we need a better you. That'll make sense if you slow it down and play it later. The way that we have greater success, the way that we have a greater vision, find God, find others, find yourself, the way that we make a greater impact in our community is not by me preaching better. I mean, not that I can't, but that's not going to do it. What's going to make us a better we is you making us a better we. We, right? All right, so that's where we're at. Now, if you can't give me grace, let's say you're new with us and you know, it's just like, because today's going to be more of a leadership seminar of sorts, right, than a sermon. So it's going to be a little different. So if you're new with us and you just can't give me grace and you're like, I can't believe that this is just a feel-good sermon. And if you can't give me grace, I understand. If you need to send an email, send it to marty@radiantchurch.com and I will respond very quickly. All right. We'll pray in just a moment. But when you think about leadership, typically you think of downward leadership or leading down. This is the most common form of leadership. This is when you're leading people who are under you, your subordinates, or could even be children. If you're a manager, you have those that you lead. They're under you. You are leading down. This is a typical form and aspect of leadership. But there's also another type of leadership that goes up. This is leading up. This is upward leadership. This is when you're not in charge, but you are still influencing the person who's in charge. Now, this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing, right? Because the person in charge doesn't have all of the answers, and the person needs people around them. This is not usurping the person who's in charge, usurping their authority. This is making them better. This is giving a stamp of approval on their authority. This is blessing their authority. You are helping them be even more successful. There are people in our church who lead up, people who have influence over me because I know that they love me, I trust them, they go about it through prayer, and there's relationship, and they're leading up. There's a great book on how to lead when you're not in charge. If that's something that you might be interested in, you can grab that. But upward leadership is an aspect of leadership. But there's a third level, there's a third avenue or position of leadership, and that is horizontal leadership. This is when no one is in charge, but someone still needs to lead. You have coworkers that you're not above them, and as much as you would like to, you can't fire them, and so you have to learn to work with them and lead them, right? This is horizontal leadership. I can't can the person next to me, and so we're gonna have to look for a way that we can work together and really for you to lead them. This is through mutual submission. This is through negotiating win-wins. This is a difficult leadership, but it's an aspect of leadership. It's horizontal leadership. And then there's a fourth kind of leadership that we're gonna talk about today, and that is leading inward. And that is self-leadership. And honestly, please listen, this is where the leadership game is won or lost. Leadership is simply influence. This is where the influence game is won or lost. This is what sets good leaders or great leaders apart from good leaders. But here's the problem. I've been in various forms of leadership for 30 plus years. And the hardest person by far, hands down, without a doubt, that I have ever led in my entire life is this person. That fine-looking young man is the hardest person that I have ever led in my entire life. And here's what I know about you. You are the hardest person you have ever led in your entire life. Because if you were easy to lead, you would be the me that I want to be. But you're hard to lead. You're probably the most difficult person in all of the world to lead. I take that off. It's driving me crazy. Go to that next slide. So let's talk about self-leadership. Join me as we're going to pray. Lord, I'm going to cover a lot of good information that is biblical and solid, and Lord, it will help us to be better in our influence, influence in our families, leaders, in our workplace, in our community, sports teams and clubs and schools, and here in your local church as part of the kingdom of God. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to us clearly, and we're inviting you to reveal in us anything that may be hidden, anything that needs to be uncovered, anything that needs to be exposed. And would you speak very clearly? Would you make each of us better? Would you move us down that road, that journey of transformation, of becoming more of the people that you have called us to be? Be with us even in our offering as we give to you out of a heart of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So the hardest person to lead my entire life has been me. Matter of fact, I did some reflecting this week, and there's been a common theme in every bad decision I have ever made. And the common thread in every bad decision I've ever made is this guy. This guy has been present in every bad decision that I have ever made my entire life. Every bad relationship, I was there. Every bad moral decision, I had a front row seat. Every bad parenting moment, I was there. Every outburst of anger or jealous fit, you guessed it, I was nearby. Every blunder at work, I was there for that. Every bad financial venture, I signed the loan. Every bad marriage outburst, oh, my wife was there for that one, but you get where I'm going on this. Listen, no one has had more negative influence on me than me. That's just the reality. No one has had more negative influence on me than me. Now that presents a problem. It means that the person that stared back at you in the mirror is the person you need to lead most. You will be the smallest crowd you ever lead, but you will be the most important person you ever lead, because every other part of leadership, every other ounce of influence that you have will be birthed out of your own self-leadership. It's that important. Here's what poor leadership will result in. Poor self-leadership means that you will not be the leader, will not be a leader worth following. Now, you can still lead, but you will not be a leader worth following. We've all had leaders that we had to follow because they had title or position. Maybe they had a badge, right? You can have leadership by position, but that doesn't mean that someone would choose to follow you. Maybe you have a boss that you have to follow, but you would never choose to willingly follow. And perhaps the greatest pinnacle of leadership is when people willingly choose to follow you when they don't have to follow you. Leadership, remember, is influence. How you lead yourself will determine if you are a leader worth following, where people willingly choose to be influenced by you. Now, let me drop a little bit of wisdom on young parents. My youngest is 19, soon to be 20, and my oldest, I think, is 24, something like that. And when our children are younger, we can make them do what we want them to do. Now, if that presents an issue to you, like, well, Billy's 4 and I can't make him do anything, yes, you really can, okay? Grab me afterwards, I'll give you some ideas. But there comes a point in your children's age where you really can't make them. I mean, you can really tighten down the screws, and believe me, I encourage you to do that, and you take everything away possible, but really, there comes a point where I can't physically make you do this. I can't make you study if you don't want to study, right? I can't make you do it. Here's what I want you to understand. Understand this. How you lead yourself will in large part determine how your children follow and respect your leadership as they get older. And the reason that we know this is because we've all had parents that we looked at and at some point either said, yes, I want to be like you, or no, you've disqualified influence because of the type of life that you've lived. Because how we view our parents growing up had more to do with how they led themselves than what they taught us, right? And so listen, it's critical as a leader, as a parent, that you self-lead. Now, children are going to go through teenage years, right? We're not going to avoid that. Something disconnects in the brain, right? We get that. But there comes a point when they come back. And when they come back, how they view you and the influence that you have in their life is largely going to be determined how you lead yourself now when they're younger and what they see as they get older. In other words, we can disqualify ourselves in a real sense by not leading ourselves. And so poor self-leadership means that you and I will not be a leader worth following. Look at my second thought, is that poor self-leadership means that you will not have sustained influence or sustained leadership, because no one wants to open themselves up and be influenced by someone that they do not respect. We all know people who have lost their leadership, lost their influence, because they did not lead themselves. Self-leadership is the key to sustaining influence. And if you want to continue to have influence over your family, over your children, at work, and your community, whatever that might be, if you want to continue to have influence, you must lead to learn yourself, or you just might disqualify yourself, at least for a season, from influence and leadership. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, look, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to gain a crown, but he says, listen, that crown's not going to last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Paul says, look, I am leading myself. I am leading this flesh. I am leading the hardest person in the world to lead. I'm leading myself because I don't want to be disqualified after I've spent all this time telling you what to do. I don't want to disqualify my influence or disqualify my leadership. When a leader burns out, or when a leader is taken out, it is always, please hear me, it is always because on some level they neglected their own soul, their own emotional health, or their own spiritual vigor. And over time, they edged closer to stepping off the cliff. See, we don't step off the edge in one giant leap. We slowly drift there. It's one small decision, one small step after another, one small drift after another. And here's what I want you to know. The slow drift towards the edge often will go unchallenged, but rarely does it go unnoticed. Meaning that when all of life is quiet and when all the chaos is gone and you lie down at night, you know if you're getting closer to that edge. You know it within you. You may not do anything about it. You may not address it. It may go unchallenged, but rarely does it go unnoticed. Most people who have had some type of leadership collapse, if you ask them, they will tell you the same thing. I saw it coming. I knew it was happening. I saw it inside of me, and I ignored it until it was too late. If you want to have sustained leadership, it will take self-leadership, leading within. So, how do we lead the hardest person in the world to lead? I'm going to give you four thoughts, really four decisions of a self-leader. Here's what I'm thinking. Number one, that I will practice self-awareness. Because the one constant factor in all of your endeavors is you, it's critical that you understand you. Do you understand? Because you have been present in every bad decision that you've ever made and every good decision that you've ever made. You need to understand you. That means, when are you energized, or when are you down? When are you strong? When are you weak? What are your tendencies? What are your biases? Do you understand yourself? Are you aware of yourself? It demonstrates a capacity to honestly evaluate your own actions, your own beliefs, and your own impact upon other people. Look, ask yourself this. Do you know your weaknesses in parenting? Parenting is leadership. If you don't know your weaknesses, I will tell you someone who does, all of your children, and they have no issues exploiting them. So self-awareness, understand where you are weak, where are you strong. Listen, self-awareness is also understanding, this is important, what's taking place inside of you. What's taking place in the mind? What's taking place in the heart? What's taking place in the soul? What am I thinking on? What am I becoming? Are you aware of what's taking place? Are you aware of where you're vulnerable? Because if you don't know where you're vulnerable, you do have a spiritual enemy who knows exactly where you're vulnerable. And if you don't know it, he will cast that lure out and you'll bite on it every time. And so you have to understand, being self-aware as a leader, as a person of influence, where are you vulnerable? What's going on inside of you? What are you thinking? Here's a statement I hope all of us will embrace. that will help us in this area of self-awareness. I will not lie to myself, even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. Let's just all say that together so I know you're awake. Ready? I will not lie to myself, even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. Now, culture will tell you that the worst thing in the world is for you to feel bad about yourself. And I think the worst thing in the world is for you to not do anything about what's bad about you. Listen, I'd rather feel bad about myself so I have an opportunity to change it than to live in some form of denial about what's really taking place in me. Self-leadership requires self-awareness, which requires honesty with the person in the mirror, and that's not easy because I easily deceive myself. I'm a sucker for my own voice. I fall for the foolish things that I tell myself over and over and over again, and I can sell myself on the worst idea. I'm a sucker for me, and you're a sucker for you. This is just the reality. And you cannot lead yourself unless you will be honest with yourself. And that means this little phrase, we all need to fire the liar. The person that's lying to you needs to go. If you're a manager and you got somebody constantly lying to you, you fire that person. You need to fire the liar, the person that is lying to you. One of my children came to me recently, about 2 weeks ago, and they had a pretty big decision that they needed to make that was going to affect them for the next, you know, year of life or whatever. And my children are all adults, and so parenting takes on, you know, a different role. I can't tell them what to do, and it's, you know, they need to make good decisions. And so they started telling me about what led them to make this decision. And they would say, well, I'm making this decision because I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And I was like, yep. And then one of them was, and if I make this decision because it will allow me to do blank. Well, blank was something that, you know, as the parent of this child, blank was something that this child really struggles with and never really has done well because this child takes after their father. And I won't go into details on what that is, but we had a conversation and I said this, listen, whenever you're going to make a decision, make the decision based upon facts, not upon the lie that you're telling yourself. Don't tell yourself, well, if I do this, it will allow me to do this, when in reality, you're never going to do that. And so if you want to make the decision, make the decisions on facts, but fire the liar. Here's another example. My wife and I love to eat out, and we eat out way too often. You can look at me and see that. And we eat out way too often. And I have bought a couple cars, and the liar inside of me said this about it. Well, I'm just going to be able to pay for this car by not eating out as much. Mm-hmm. Now, could I stop eating out as much? Absolutely. Do I want to stop eating out as much? Not on your life. And so what happened is I had a car payment and I continued to eat out that much. I lied to myself. Do you understand? Here's another example. Over 30 years of ministry, I would have people come to me and they would say, we're stepping out of ministry because we need to focus on our family. And on face value, I can't argue with that. Absolutely, you need to focus on your family. They need to be your number one priority, and you know, we'll bless them in that. But can I tell you what I've learned over 30 years? Is that the little voice is lying, and because some of what I know is that, well, you haven't focused on your family for about 15 years, and now all of a sudden you're going to focus on your family, and I hope you do. But listen, if you want to step out of ministry, then step out of ministry based upon the facts you know, not upon the little lies that you're telling yourself about what you're going to do because you have a history of not doing it. So does that make sense? And so, listen, self-awareness means fire the liar. And so if you're going to make a decision, if you're going to buy the car based upon the financial decisions that you want, that you know, for what your finances look like. But don't lie to yourself that you're going to stop eating out because I have a history of never stopped eating out. And so what does that look like for you to fire the liar? What does that mean? If you're about to make a decision, ask yourself this, why am I doing this? And then ask yourself this, why am I doing this really? Why am I really doing this? Be self-aware. Why am I avoiding the conversation? Why am I really purchasing this? Why am I really quitting? Why am I really angry? What's really taking place on the inside of me? And because we lie to ourselves, let's bring another person in that can evaluate us. Here's what David says in Psalm 139, that search me, God, and know my heart. Listen, I know that I deceive me, so God, I'm asking that you would search me, that you would allow me to be aware of myself, my hang-ups, my tendency, all of that, that I would be able to be the person that you've called me to be. But in order for that to happen, I need to invite the Holy Spirit in to begin to search me and to direct me. Here's my second thought. Second decision that all self-leaders need to make is that I will prioritize what I value most over what I want now. In other words, do not forfeit tomorrow for something today that you may not even want tomorrow. You know, that relationship that seemed good today that was a noose tomorrow, or the purchase that's good today that financially chokes us tomorrow, or the activity today that erodes our reputation tomorrow, or constantly chasing money today that means a weakened family tomorrow. All self-leaders need to decide that I will prioritize what I value most over what I want now. In other words, the me that I want to be is in jeopardy whenever I prioritize the immediate over the end game. Self-leadership is really all about the end game. And the end game is this. What do you want your life to look like when your life is coming to a close? What do you want your life to be about when you're lying on your deathbed? Influential leaders lead themselves toward what they value most, not toward what they want now. We got an entire regroup that's going to be starting here next month about this idea of how to get what you want before you get what you want and regret it. So how do you determine what you value most? Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he gives this practice called the funeral experience. And he says, I want you to picture yourself in a funeral home, and you're there, and the place is packed with people, family and friends. You know everyone there, and the place is decked out, and there's beautiful flowers, and your favorite music is playing. And as you make your way to the front of the room, you notice the casket, and inside the casket is you. And you are at your own funeral. And then when you look at the program, it says that four people will be speaking at your funeral. It will be a family member, maybe a spouse or a sibling or a child. It's going to be a coworker that spent time with you. It's going to be a longtime friend that you did life with together. And then maybe someone from your church. And Covey asks the question, what do you want each person to say about you? What do you want to be remembered for? What kind of person, wife, husband, father, son, mother, employee, do you want their words to reflect? What character qualities will you want to be remembered for? What did they see in you? What did your life mean to them? How is their life a little less because you have left this earth? And Kobe said, if you work through that exercise, you have just discovered what you value most. Because what you're not going to be asking or hoping people say is something like, you know, that Marty, he made a lot of money throughout his life. That's not going to matter. You know, Marty, he led a mega church of multiple thousands. That's not going to matter. What you're wanting people to say about you when you're gone is what you value most. And so you need to prioritize what you value most over what you want now. Now, some of you are thinking, well, a funeral exercise, that's so depressing. Well, I think what's depressing is getting to the end of your life and realizing that what you value is out of reach because you're out of time. And this is my father's story, who lived an entire life grabbing today because he didn't know what he valued tomorrow. And now at almost 80 years old, finally beginning to understand what he values, and he's out of time. That's sad. And so what do you need to prioritize to make this happen? The good news is you're not dead yet. At least I don't think anyone's died yet. Maybe someone will be left behind as we all usher out of here. But we all still have opportunity. You can still change the outcome. Here's my third thought. Self-leaders need to decide this, that I will stop to refuel. Mark's gospel repeatedly shows a pattern of Jesus in intense ministry, and then he pulls away to be alone, intense ministry, and he sends the people away, intense ministry, and he goes to a quiet place to pray and to reflect and to refuel. And this was his practice. So let's practice self-awareness now with this question. I want you to be honest. Fire the liar. How are you really. Your emotional tank, your spiritual tank, your mental tank, how are you really? Is there anything left? Are you running on fumes? Are you nearing the edge towards a breakdown? How are you really? And so we don't like to address this because we're not self-aware. Because when we become self-aware, we have to do something about it. But ask that question again. How are you really? Is your life fruitful? Scripture talks about fruit as being the reference or the product of having a relationship with God. And when you look at fruit on a tree, fruit is always visible or it's becoming visible. And so just ask yourself this, is my fruit visible? Or is the vine, is the branch slowly dying? Fruit always bears the character of the tree it is connected to. An apple will always come from an apple tree. You'll never find an apple coming from an orange tree. And so what is the fruit that you're bearing? Scripture tells us here's what the fruit should look like if we're attached to the proper vine. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Listen, don't pass by this too quickly. Because I know that many of us and many of our current leaders, you're running out of gas. You're running on empty. And the solution is that you're going to need to begin to be active in refueling yourself. Now look, if you need to step away from ministry, even in light of what I just said, I support you in that. But don't be as most people have been. They step out of ministry and they never step back in. And most people step out and they're not even in the church anymore. Not just this church, but any church anywhere, right? Because we lie to ourselves. And so if you're running on fumes, man, let's talk about what it's going to take for you to be healthy, for you to be the person that you need to be. This idea of fruit is so important. Jesus devoted an entire teaching on it. In John 15, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I and you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Notice the progression. Look, you come and you bear no fruit, and then you bear fruit, and then you bear more fruit, and then you bear much fruit, and ultimately that you will bear fruit that will last, regardless of the situation, regardless of circumstances, regardless of the season. This is where Jesus wants to lead you. So just ask yourself this, how am I really? How am I doing really? The best way that you can self-lead is to lead yourself to the vine. And Jesus is the vine. Let me give you one last thought that all self-leaders need to decide to do, that I will not lead myself by myself. In other words, we cannot adequately lead ourselves by ourselves because we lie to ourselves. And so we need other people around us that will hold us accountable. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Who's making you sharper in your leadership influence? Do you gather people? Have you gathered people around you that are making you sharper? Listen, typically what we do is we gather friends who have common interest. Oh, you like beer? I like beer. Let's be friends. You hate the Cowboys? I hate the Cowboys. Let's be friends, right? Cutting that off. Are you a Cowboy fan, though? Dude, come on. My respect for you. Listen, when we gather people around us, we cannot just gather people of common interest. We need to gather people of common values. People who are going where you're going. People who value what you value. People that are going to help you become the person that you want to become. People that are going to help you be a better leader. People that are going to help you be a better person of influence. Listen, gathering people of common interest, you're no telling where that's going to lead you. And we intuitively know this is true. You know how? You know why? Because it's the exact same thing we tell to our children. Or you're not hanging out with that person. And you know why? Because you may have common interests, but you don't have common values. And as adults, this all goes away. One of the important things about regroups, and we'll be launching all of those next week with information, is that you are gathering people around you who have common values. Everyone is trying to become a better follower of Christ. That's important. It's one of the reasons that we offer groups, because when you get people of common values around you, values begin to rub off. We begin to hold one another accountable. We begin to spur one another on. So let's close with this. We got about 9 minutes. I want you to put your stuff away. If you got a Bible, put it away. Put notes away. Put your phone away. Esther, go ahead and bring us into one of our worship cues, and just close your eyes and just kind of, I want to prepare a space. Now listen, if you're like, I don't want to close my eyes, listen, you just sat through 30 minutes. Just, you may as well, all right? Close your eyes, get the full effect of what you paid for, which is nothing. All right, so, all right, I just want you to ask yourself this and fire the liar. Here's my first reflection question. Is my life lining up with my values? Let's meditate on that for a moment. Ask yourself this, is my vision clear? Do I know what I want my life to be about? Do I know where I'm headed? Is my vision clear? Ask yourself this, is my passion hot? Am I still excited about the opportunities in life? Am I excited about the opportunity to improve someone's life? Am I excited about the ministry opportunities? Am I excited about parenting? Am I excited about my marriage, my relationship? Is my passion hot? Ask yourself this, is my character submitted to Christ? Are you compromising somewhere that could lead to a fall? Are interior issues undermining my leadership influence? Are there things from my past, wounds, regrets, losses, disappointments, that are undermining your future leadership? Here's a question for all of us. Is my pace sustainable? Can I continue going at this clip? Or am I slowly burning out? Two more. Is my heart for God increasing or decreasing? Fire the liar. Last one, is my capacity to love others deepening? Now look up here. These are all questions that will help lead us into being aware of ourselves and where we're at and what's really going on within us, our health as it actually is, not just kind of ignoring things and pushing off to the side. This is a practice that all of us need to do on a regular basis, to be honest with ourselves, because then it positions us to move into a season that can correct whatever it is in our lives that we're just not too happy with. More than that, it positions us to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work within us in the areas of life that He's not happy with. But if you never ask the questions, you'll never know. And one day you may step over the edge and forfeit your leadership, forfeit your influence. And you will be in the unfortunate position to say, I saw it coming, it went unchallenged, but it was not unnoticed. And so I'd rather face it now. Look, the reason I want you to be a better you is because when you are a better you, we are a better we. And so this whole thing of leadership is that I'm hoping that we would get a larger base of leadership so we could continue doing what we've been called to do. But we are not the we need to be if you are not the you need to be. And so I wanted to take a few moments and just talk about self-leadership, the most critical thing you will ever do when it comes to your current and your future influence, regardless of what area of life you find yourself in. Pray with me, Lord. For some of us, maybe the answer to some of these questions were a little concerning, and I pray you'd give us the grace and the strength to act upon them now, and that we would seek help where needed, but that we would not just dismiss it and think it's going to go away or magically get better, that we need to lead ourselves. And Lord, I pray that we would all become more self-aware. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, that you would search us, reveal anything in us that is dangerous or not pleasing to you or poses a threat. Speak to us about living for the long haul, forgoing what we may want today, that we would achieve who and what we want for tomorrow, for the future. Lord, speak to us about refueling and staying connected to you to be fruitful and vibrant followers of Christ. And speak to us about gathering people around us that can make us sharper, make us stronger, make us better. Release us in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of Jesus the Son, the goodness of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, God bless you. Hey, don't forget, lots of stuff going on. Sign up for the newcomer's lunch coming up. Sign up for baptism if you'd like to be a part of that. Daddy-daughter dinner and a dance coming up. Make sure you sign up. You can drop it in the offering buckets out in the lobby. We'll get you information on that. God bless you guys. Take care.